Thank you, Ken. If you're like me, I wonder where all these holidays have come from. A couple years ago, I started researching, and I have found many different things. Some of you know I am somewhat fluent in Spanish, so some of my early thoughts were to get up here and say Happy Mother's Day in multiple languages. And working in a grocery store, I have people from all different countries that come through my line. So I asked him how to say things. And I started remembering back at Christmas a young lady who is from Russia. And I asked her how to say Merry Christmas in Russia. And she spilled it off and I just stood there and looked at her. And I realized right then and there that was not a wise idea. Began a little more research and I wanted to know where it came from. So I thought I would share with you a brief history about Mother's Day. And let me get my glasses so I can read. The first attempts to establish a Mother's Day in the U.S. were mostly marked by women peace groups. A common early activity was a meeting of groups of mothers whose sons had fought or died on opposite sides of the American Civil War. There were several limited observations in the 1870s and 1880s, but none achieved resonance beyond the local level. In 1868, Ann Jarvis created a committee to establish a Mother's Day, a Mother's Friendship Day, whose purpose was to reunite families that had been divided during the Civil War. She wanted to expand it into an annual memorial for mothers, but she died in 1905 before the celebration became popular. Her daughter, Anna Jarvis, would continue her mother's efforts. In New York City, Julia Ward Howe, who wrote the famous hymn, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, as I learned it, but our hymnal says, "Mine eyes have seen the glory." Ward, which was accompanied, led a Mother's Day anti-war observance on June 2, 1872, which was accompanied by a Mother's Day proclamation. The observation continued in Boston for about 10 years under Howell's personal sponsorship, then died out. Several years later, a Mother's Day observation on May 13, 1877, was held in Albion, Michigan, over a dispute related to the temperance movement. According to a local legend, Albion pioneer Julia Calhoun Blakely stepped up to complete the sermon of the Reverend Myron Dowdery, who was distraught because an anti-temperance group had forced his son and two other temperance advocates to spend the night in a saloon and became publicly drunk. From the pulpit, Blakely called on other mothers to join her. Blakely's two sons, both traveling salesmen, were so moved that they vowed to continue each year to pay tribute to her and embarked on a campaign to urge their business contacts to do likely. At their urging in the early 1880s, the Methodist Episcopal Church in Albion set aside the second Sunday in May to recognize their special mothers. In the present form, Mother's Day was established by Anna Marie Jarvis with the help of Philadelphia merchant John Wanamaker. Following the death of her mother, Ann Jarvis, on May 9, 1905, a small service was held on May 12, 1907, in the Wanamaker Auditorium. In the Andrews Methodist Episcopal Church in Grafton, West Virginia, where Anna's mother had been teaching Sunday school. But the first official service was held May 10, 1908, in the same church, accompanied by a larger ceremony in the Wanamaker Auditorium in the Wanamaker store in Philadelphia. The next year, the day was reported to be widely celebrated in New York. On May 8, 1914, a declaration was officially made by the state of West Virginia. In 1910, the rest of the states followed quickly. On May 8, 1914, the United States Congress passed a law designating the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day and requesting a proclamation. On May 9, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation declaring the first National Mother's Day as a day for American citizens to show the flag and honor those mothers whose sons had died in war. In 1934, U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt approved a stamp commemorating the holiday. In May 2008, the U.S. House of Representatives voted twice on a resolution commemorating Mother's Day, the first one being unanimous, with 21 members not voting. The Grafton's Church, which was the first celebration was held, is now the International Mother's Day Shrine, is a National Historic Landmark. Carnations have come to represent mothers, red representing the mother who is still with us, and white for the mother who has passed on. Well, this has been a very eventful week for me. First of all, I met my new store manager when I would not let him in the store. He arrived in plain clothes after midnight, and I promptly informed the man standing at the door, "Sir, we are closed." I got informed, "I'm your new store manager." So I let him in. And then ran out of ink in my printer and realized that I had wrote everything in a program that was not compatible beyond my computer. And Satan kept on telling me that I didn't need a written text, but the Holy Spirit said I did. When I sat down and allowed the Holy Spirit to guide my thoughts, I began to think about my own mom and the blessing she was to me, the lessons in life that she taught not just to me, but all three of her children. My mom passed away 20 years ago in February. I asked Ken Denham to assist me this morning, and I asked him to come to bring some jokes. My mom and my paternal grandmother were both an inspiration to me in growing up. I never knew my maternal grandmother. Late stage Parkinson's disease had already taken her, pretty much. So the pictures that I remember were of a lady confined to a nursing home bed. However, once again, I began to think, and I thought that a letter would be most appropriate to share. "Dear Mom, it has been 20.5 years since you departed to be in heaven. So much has happened, and I know that you have been with me through it all. The real reason for this letter is I am preaching today, Mother's Day, and I felt that sharing about the lessons you taught your three children would be the best way to honor all mothers. For nearly 14 years, I worked in healthcare as a certified nurse aide and a BLS, Basic Life Support, EMT. During the 12 years that have passed that I left healthcare, I recall many conversations with you telling me to be proud of whatever my career was and to allow the Holy Spirit to guide me. You always said that it is more important for us to find our calling rather than to feel led to follow our parents. Yes, in many ways I miss being in healthcare, but I have found a life in retail to be just as rewarding. Both Fran and I have remained active and involved with the church. Fran has never left Wesley, and I have transferred my membership there a few years ago. There are many lessons that you taught me, and I credit them to others. You always told me that God's love was even in us before we knew it. On my Emmaus weekend, I learned this was called prevenient grace. So I tell everyone that weekend I learned about God's love. But honestly, I learned about it from you, that God's love was in us all. And that's what it is to call myself a Christian. What about prayer? Oh yes, I share this story many times. I had just learned that Metro was stopping the bus coming from Bellevue and going to the Pentagon. There is only service going to Huntington. The Reverend Dick Helveston was pastor at Mount Vernon UMC. He sold me a VW Beetle. A few days before I was to finalize everything with him, I went to go to the credit union to get the money. While I came home, I started cleaning the house and then went for a jog. When I came home, I noticed I had mistakenly thrown my tithe envelope in the trash. More than that, I could not find the money for my car. Upset and not knowing who to call or who to turn to, I called you in the hospital. With your motherly advice, what was your motherly advice? Pray about it. My response was, I'm too upset to pray about it. We ended the call, and I proceeded to tear the apartment apart, looking for the money. I was afraid I had foolishly thrown $600 in the dumpster. Finally, that evening, when I went to bed, I said a prayer something like this, Lord, I know it is wrong to pray for money, but this is money that I had, and I really do need that car. Please, if it is your will, let me find it. Next morning, I awoke, and something drew my attention to a library Christmas songbook on my dresser. I noticed that the center of the book was raised and immediately began to hear you and many librarians telling me about putting pencils and other objects in books. I opened it to find the money I had misplaced. I recall the day I stopped in the doorway of your room, and you engaged me in a talk on the Lord's Prayer. Before that day, I would pray the Lord's Prayer as if I were in a horse race, rapidly going through it. Our conversation took the Lord's Prayer to a whole new meaning for me. I was able to see it, and now when I pray, I visualize each part of that prayer. Patience. Still an area that I need to work on, but I recall many times trying to do a task and frustration and anger would overcome me. In your motherly way, you would once again look at me and say, patience is a virtue. Me, I would turn and yell back at you, seldom found in women, never found in men, and I'm a man. And what was your response? Oh, June, you missed a stitch all the way back there. Or was something like, it's not knit one, it's purl two. I know that you are the guiding light that has led both Fran and me to join the prayer shawl ministry and to begin crocheting. I really don't believe I will ever become as fluent in crocheting as you were. But time will tell. You always said to all of us, if anything was worth doing, it is worth doing it right. So yes, ma'am, I have started and been proud of my work. Then I noticed I made a mistake. My count is way off. You always said if something was wrong, was worth doing, it was worth doing right. Those words have echoed in my mind with every project I've started. The golden rule is the greatest of the rules you taught us. How many times did one of us say, but Beth did this to me? Yes, I know. It is do unto others as you would have them do unto you, not what they did to you. As I close this letter, I need to share a few final lessons. Education. You always said to learn the meaning of a word or phrase, and so I did. I had thought about putting in here redneck jokes because I am a country music fan. But oh boy, I didn't think it was right, and I didn't even need to seek the pastor's advice because research taught me the true meaning. And in case you're wondering, it has nothing to do with people from the country. It actually, and I guess you could say I am a redneck, because the term became popular in the 1930s when Union coal mine workers from the north were coming down to the south into West Virginia to help form the Union mines. Another meaning of the term is that a person who is called a redneck is of a lesser quality. And for me to stand here and say that any mother is of a lesser quality would be an insult to my mother and to every mother in this sanctuary. Okay, I guess I should end. But before I do, there are a few more things I want to share. I realize that I have not shared anything about Gan, our paternal grandmother. I thought that it would be appropriate to say that she was devoted in her Bible studies as a witness to Christian faith. My memories are of a woman in her late 70s and 80s, but she remained strong to her beliefs, attending church and Bible study with her fellow soldiers at the Salvation Army. but remain strong in belief and support of the sacraments, specifically communion. The Salvation Army doesn't celebrate communion or baptism as we do. Fran and I frequently recall trying to teach her how to pronounce certain words, such as lasagna. My grandmother, and please, Mom, I ask to be forgiven for sharing this, but she would call it lasagna, or pizza, with paisa. One final note, and perhaps the greatest laugh that we all get, and Mom, I apologize if this little story is too much, but Fran and I still like to share it. I need to roll the clock back to the fall of 1980, when ATM machines first made their debut. They were not as populous as they are today. It was late night on a Saturday, and you wanted to get money out of the bank. Fran helped you into the ATM, and a few moments later, several police cars with lights and sirens went racing up Route 1. You were convinced you had done something wrong and never used an ATM again. You've given us, one of us, your car to use many times, but you never even set foot inside another ATM. Today, I can only imagine how much yarn, knitting needles, crochet hooks, books, and patterns you would be buying over the internet. I close my eyes and imagine having a conversation with you, asking me or Fran to help you in ordering. Mom, have I ever thanked you for giving me life? Thank you for all those lessons, even the ones I have failed to mention. My mom spent a lot of time worshiping from her bed. Illness kept her from being in church or caring for other people. I can remember that my mom would make us go to bed early on Saturday night because we were going to church. And as a small child, 8, 10 years old, I'd say, "What about you?" "Well, I need to stay here and take care of Mrs. So-and-so. This is my job." So church was important, and for many times, Mom's church was the TV. And again, I'm able to close my eyes and seeing putting up the internet so that she could do it.
Please stand as able for the closing hymn, number 98 in the red hymnal, "To God Be the Glory."